And I can probably cut this at any point, but I'm probably not going to, let's be honest. Welcome to Drunk Cast Podcast 1.
Quill Balls and Trey.
A subsidy of Q-Boat, Episode 4. Q-Boat. It works.
Quill Box.
Quill Box. Post of the week, Quill Box. All right.
I thought our name was Sim League Over Everything. Sim so League. Slow.
Sim League Over Everything.
Slow.
Sim League Over.
What about Yoso? You only sim once.
You only sim once.
But we don't. We sim like 20 times.
A year.
A season.
You only Yoso.
The sim only goes through once.
By the way.
Some of us make the playoffs and sim more than 20 times straight.
Ouch. Hey, so.
Speaking of not making the playoffs, how about that trade today between the Hawks and the Magic?
You mean two teams that'll be at the bottom of the league for the rest of Earth?
Yeah. I would like to just say that I believe that those two teams have truly become the feeder teams of the league. They have no patience for anything. They just give away their picks for nothing, and they give away their young players for future picks. Perpetually in a state of future development.
Okay, so I posted this earlier, and I took it off.
I saw that, by the way. I noticed that there was a post that left, and I couldn't read it. And I wanted you to read it here on this podcast. So go ahead.
Which one?
Well, did you delete multiple posts?
I did.
Are you the Knicks?
No, he's a doctor, though.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was the one.
No, I'm a med student. You should trust me. No, the one I'm talking about was the one concerning the Magic, right? Who said he's tired of losing. He's going to do big things. So what he does is trades his, I don't know, let's say his second best player for a bunch of picks. Like, you're going to keep losing, right?
And now he wants to trade his third best player. Well, actually, now second, because he just traded his second away. He wants to get rid of Curry. Who's probably his only offensive fucking power on that team.
And what about D.L.?
D.L.'s meh.
Well, the funny thing, he might. You know, the funny thing about this whole thing is we're hating on him, and the person
and he's the
who
winner.
Really, yeah, the one that really got fucked was Trell. I mean, three first round picks. Name two people on your team that you wouldn't trade for three first round picks.
Gilbert Arenas.
I wouldn't trade anyone. I think Yao would be on that list. I may even say.
Shit, I would trade Yao in a second.
You would trade Yao for that? So, okay. This is the list of people we wouldn't trade for three first-round picks.
Gilbert
even
Arenas.
Though those three first-round picks are the Atlanta Hawks and Trell.
No, I would trade Yao for three first-round.
Oh, my bad. So, I would trade my entire team, probably, for three first-round picks.
FYI, Tim Duncan just airballed. Sorry.
Are we live casting the real NBA? We don't do that here.
Well, I just say that for Scott. I mean, balls.
Good job. I'm not even editing this. Could you cut it out with calling us by name? I am Trey. My name is obviously not Trey. So, there's that. Any other? Well, no, we haven't finished pounding this trade yet. This trade was so awful.
This is the whole point of this podcast, is that we were so blindsided by this trade that Balls and Trey went out and got blasted. And if I had known earlier, I would have gotten the cheapo dinner and used the rest of my per diem from work on booze.
Was that tuna shit you were eating? Like the expensive dinner?
Yes.
Oh my god!
Because today someone else bought my lunch, and then someone bought my coffee this morning. So I had a full day of per diem to use for dinner, and hey, I was like,
"Let's talk about this."
I was like, "Boy, gonna eat."
How cheap is Doug where he gets a per diem and lets people pay for his coffee and lunch? How cheap do you have to be?
You are so wrong for that.
Hey, you got to treat yourself for dinner.
Treat yourself. We need to do a treat yourself segment. All right.
Magic guy just treated himself. Hey, can I get to the post of the week?
Post of the week.
Trell, after next offseason, we'll see how this pans out. When I be a deep playoff team, those picks wouldn't be nowhere near as good as all you think they will be.
I just want to say that I quoted that and responded with LOL.
I am so glad. Right, I'm so glad that you read it back to me because I couldn't even comprehend what the hell he was saying when I read it the first time. Amazing. Amazing. I'm going to pull up the – what else we got on the trail getting salty? Sorry. I'm quoting actual
– Do we actually want to talk about the league? Doug, how does it feel to, say, be a 3 seed but get pistol whipped by the Pistons this season?
Pistol whipped.
And the reason why I ask that is because I'm in the same situation with the Sonics.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it happens. It happens. Yeah, you know, there's always one team that has your number. It's not like I've gotten destroyed by the Pistons all season.
No, there have been a couple close games. Losses. Couple close games. I agree.
And if you look at my last couple sims, I've actually matched up and destroyed some playoff teams. Maybe not this past sim, but the sim before that. I mean, I took it to the Pacers. I took it to the Sonics. By the way, you can't beat.
And you want to talk about teams you can't beat that I beat?
No, I don't.
Let's not bring up me. This is obviously a vicious circle, okay? We've all beaten each other.
Yeah, because I beat Scott. I mean, Balls. Scott Balls.
So obviously his name's Scott. So I'm glad to know that now.
Trey has not beaten me, so it's not a vicious circle.
No, we got a game this week, and obviously it's not a very... very good draw for me. By the way, I want to read you something, and this is since Jackson's been traded. Gerald Wallace, 14.1 points a game, 6.9 rebounds, 2.9 steals, 1.7 blocks. This guy's disgusting.
Hey, Trey, does your head hurt?
Why?
Because you just hit the fucking ceiling, bro.
What? From what? The Gerald Wallace?
Gerald Wallace is scoring and rebounding.
Really? Really? So you had him as a rookie. My guy's stats go up, or his abilities go up, and then this is the roof? I don't understand. Ceiling. I don't get it.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple.
Open it up. See all the people. What? This is getting weird.
Only thing Quailman knows about roofs are roofies.
Hey, so Star Trek comes out this week. Star Trek comes out this week.
Did you watch Iron Man?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, but not great.
It wasn't great, but it was pretty good. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot.
Hey, most improved player.
Are we still doing this? It's got to be Ron Artest.
Ron Artest. I know there's been talks all day about Al Jefferson. Al Fluff himself Jefferson and Ron Artest and Baron Davis. While I do agree that Baron Davis is playing balls to the wall this year, Artest deserves this award hands down.
It's most improved player. I mean,
and to be honest, Baron Davis is going to be getting the points.
Just because you weren't in first or second team NBA and now you are doesn't mean that you're the most improved player.
Baron Davis?
Yeah.
Did you look at his stats?
What? What are you saying?
He's putting up better numbers in the same amount of minutes across the board.
Yeah, but he's not most improved. You understand?
I was just saying that people were saying that Baron Davis should get it or that Al Jefferson when honestly it's Ron Artest.
What? Yeah. Are you making two arguments, Doug? I can't keep up.
No. I was just saying, you were saying that how he's not even close, And I was saying he's in the top three, I would say.
No, that's not what I was saying. I was just saying that you have a guy that's towards the top of the league. He finally cuts into the first and second team All-NBA. That doesn't make him most improved. What I'm saying is what Artest has done, and just statistically looking at what he's done, is unbelievable, honestly. I mean, I had Artest. I really wish to God I still had him. I mean, that's, you know, this anybody who's had Artest looking at his numbers now, besides balls so hard, because apparently he just replaces them with other all-stars. But you know, if you don't have an all-star bid, you're not good enough. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm working to try to get five, but.
Right. Do it.
Hey, did you like my little Jason Kidd thing this week?
You're kidding me.
Unless you're going to do it.
Unless you're going to do it. Yeah, I mean, people freaked out over that. It was really entertaining.
Yeah, especially since I haven't even talked to that GM ever.
No. Has that GM even checked in all year?
I think he's put up a couple, but he keeps saying he's mad, he keeps losing, but doesn't do anything to get better.
Who is that again?
Belos.
Belos EZP.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Life is tough.
Life is tough.
He did come out and blast. He was there when B-Ball posted that one post. Or the Knicks pull the trade or whatever. He was out there blasting B-Ball there that day.
No, he's like sometimes really, really active and posts like, you know, like animated GIFs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then he disappears for like five sims.
Gotcha.
But you know what? If Jason Kidd was your best player and you had Allen Houston on that contract, I'd disappear too.
So let's go. What was the worst contract you were offered in this trade deadline?
The worst contract?
Yeah.
I've been the one offering the worst contract.
What is the worst contract? Okay, we can go further than that. What's the worst contract you've ever been offered?
Offered? Or?
Yeah. Like someone, I mean, someone messages you.
I was offered Tom McClure by Nets once, and I said, sorry, bro.
So, I'm just saying, like, out of the blue, you get a PM from a GM, and they're trying to give you their worst contract. What is that worst contract? Does anyone even contact you, Ball So Hard? Does anyone even do this to you? Do they just say, oh, no, it's not worth it, he's not going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, in season one and two, it happened a little bit, but at this point, anybody I've wanted, I've gone after, and I've either pulled off the trade or we've extinguished all hope and there's just no reason to talk anymore.
I'm trying to think. I mean, really, there have been times when, and you remember, you guys, we were out drinking at Happy's once when this was almost going down back a couple sims ago or a couple seasons ago. Remember when I almost made the trade for Courtney Alexander, Ernest Brown, and what's his name, Antonio McDice? That would have been a stupid trade. Sorry, Ball, B-Ball.
Who are you giving up for?
He never had Courtney Alexander, though.
No. He did. Remember, he traded him to Preppy. Warriors had Courtney Alexander. They had Antonio McDice and Ernest Brown. And I almost straight, because I was trying to get rid of Brendan Haywood and Lamar Odom. Talk about shitty contract for shitty contract.
All right.
But honestly, I was just trying to get – Courtney Alexander wasn't horrible at the time. Like, he actually played – he was playing decent ball. He had – he was coming off the Sixers when he had – I think he was scoring like 17 a game and had like six rebounds. So he wasn't bad. So I was going – Courtney Alexander and Antonio McDice. Those were the two pieces I really wanted. Ernest Brown was like, I'm just going to throw shit at the wall and hope that it sticks, you know?
So, who gave Courtney Alexander that contract?
That was your homeboy.
Was it Dallas Mavericks or the Clippers?
That was Hornets time. That was the Warriors.
Okay, so let's transition to something really good. Let's do our new Warriors update of the week. How are they doing?
No, you see, this is what I wanted to talk about. I bet next podcast we can take a look at the top 10 contracts, worst contracts. I bet they're handed out by less than 4 GMs.
I would definitely say Warriors GM and Hawks GM are two of those.
Right?
That offer out those. And don't get me wrong, Rashid didn't deserve that much. He may have deserved that much for maybe one or two seasons, but not for five.
Yeah, I think that was an accident on his part. I don't think he really knew what he was offering.
To be honest, I remember him panicking that he couldn't get any of the players that he wanted. So I think at that point, he was just trying to get somebody.
Why don't more GMs just, okay, I didn't get anybody, let me keep my money and go forward to next year? I mean, most of the guys who are in that situation, they have the youth to get by for the next season.
Or, you know what, you may get in that situation, but a lot of times, if you're there and you have cap space, there will be people down the season that are looking to dump contracts.
Right.
And you can absorb it and take another pick.
Right.
That's what I don't get. It's like, why just spend cap to spend cap?
Right.
Like, especially now that we have these really, really, really hard – I mean, I could have easily gone after one or two more players during the free-for-all or whatever because I needed another backup too. But I decided to sit back and sit pat because I was under the cap tax, and I want to keep my points.
Right. I mean, you know, outside
of Gilbert Arenas, I don't have anyone that's really making me points.
This is how bad the salary cap tax is, and I don't think people really understand it yet. I had $3.3 million under cap, and I was trying to sell it to any of the six or seven teams who were getting abused by the salary cap tax. I don't know why more teams don't try to do this at the end. If you know you're not a winner and you have the cap, there's so much cap room out there to just be given away. I mean, can you imagine, like, next year the Clippers have Courtney Alexander for, like, a $14 million year or something like that? Like, if you have the cap room and you're not planning on competing that year, take it. Steal the points. Give him a discount.
You know what? A lot of guys, you can give picks and you can give a couple expiring players, and you know what? I guarantee a couple years from now, if B-Ball's still holding on to Ray Allen, he'll give him away.
Oh, yeah.
If he can get a pick and some points and a couple expirings, he would gladly dump Ray Allen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can do it right now.
So would the Warriors and half of their team because they're all 34.
To be honest, I would.
What'd you say?
The Warriors just picked up Rasheed Wallace.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you didn't see the trade?
From Trell?
Yeah.
This
is the funny thing. Trell trades Jalen Rose, maybe. He trades Rasheed Wallace, and then he trades for Iguodala. And that's why this trade's so bad. He's got no talent on his team.
He's got Josh Smith.
And Iguodala and Jay Williams, which he's going to be...
complimentary players.
You see my point?
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, he was doing great. To be honest, like, he dumped two horrible contracts.
Oh, Trout was doing great. And then he destroyed himself.
Yeah. And it's a shame. Like, and that's what, like, kind of getting back to what we were talking about earlier. And I don't mean to be a dick by calling that, but, like, they are turning into the feeder leagues or feeder teams because they're just giving away talent. David West for fucking pennies, man. I think he traded him for Villanova.
I mean, you legit, I can tell in your voice, you legit sound angry about this.
The Hawks didn't. The Magic had a really, really, really promising team last year that got derailed when Sharif got hurt. He needed maybe one more year with that roster. he didn't need Amir Johnson and Charlie Villanueva. He had Curry and West, who both – Curry doesn't play defense, but West kind of does. They both can score. Sharif, you got a guy that plays defense on the wing. You got Iguodala, who is a defensive lockdown guy on your two, who can put up points here and there. And then you got, you know, I forget who is is
TJ, your mom?
Not TJ Ford. Who is who's his point guard?
Did you say your mom?
What?
Did you say your mom?
Whose mom? Quayle's?
I heard my mom plays point guard for the Magic.
I heard she runs a lot of teams.
Oh Jesus. anyway. On the coattails of Mother's Day.
I don't remember his name. It's like Luke Ridnour or something.
Yeah, that's it. And he was actually playing all right, too. So, I mean, you got...
If anything you needed was core. Point guard.
He had a good young core. And the thing is, he doesn't have the patience.
I
think if you can wait it out, you're not going to become an instant competitor overnight unless your name is Ball So Hard.
Which isn't necessarily my name, but I'm thinking about changing it.
You should.
Where should I put the last name? Like Ohard?
No, you should put
Balls Ohard.
Ohard. You're Irish.
Ohard, comma balls. He walks in the room. So what's your name? I'm Ohard. Balls Ohard.
O with a apostrophe, right?
Yeah, you're Irish, bro. You get just drink some Guinness.
How about an O with an exclamation point and then ooh, R?
Now you're getting crazy.
Yeah. Meta world peace crazy.
Meta world peace crazy. So, also post of the week, when they asked about the Yao face, who was that? Was that that was the Nets, right?
I think it was Nets, yeah.
I knew all along that that was his face. I had to look it up the other day, but it was like just to see what screen cap they got it from. And I found the video. Ron Artest is telling a joke about not having a beer thrown at him because apparently he's the biggest asshole in the NBA. But and then he's just dying laughing next to him. And then they freeze it and put black lines on it, and all of a sudden it's a rage face.
Real quick, Charles just asked in one thread. He said, tell him Trell, because I said Milt says hi. And he says, tell him Trell said what's up. Any garbage player that gets a nice, horrible contract if I love you. Sort of like Sheed, McGlure, and Milt. Missing anyone. Is there any other one else? I'm just trying to think here.
Can I ask a possibility? Is Trell a league troll?
I don't know, man.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's crossing two worlds. We're on a chat thread, and we know that trolls exist. I mean, there are some terrible ones. Maybe we'll spend a segment on podcast one time on that. But, yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. That's a good analogy.
But, all right, well, I hate to keep harping on that trade. So,
should we talk about the other trades?
Yeah,
can we talk about Kamen real quick?
I'm sure we'll come back to this and talk about the Magic Hawks trade again at some point. But yeah, let's try talking about the other trades that involve either the Hawks or the Bulls.
Okay. So let's do that one first. So the Hawks totally screwed the Bulls. I mean, just absolutely screwed the Bulls on that sim. I wonder what the stance is by the league on this. That if you don't, if the trade is not processed before the sim, if that other, you know, the guy who wasn't holding up the trade, if he has the opportunity to, you know, reevaluate the trade, like, is commissioner going to go back to Bulls and say, do you want Jalen Rose still? Because
no, I mean, I honestly think this is the new trade, and that, you know, Bulls, if they want, they can totally decline this.
Yeah, but now he's created a new post. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how often this has happened in the past. But
it's happened before.
But Trell didn't drop a player, and the Bulls went into the sim thinking they had Jalen Rose, but instead got dominated on two occasions by Jalen Rose. I mean, tell me how much that hurts.
I'd be pissed.
You know what's going to hurt is the fact that that trade's not going to be able to go through.
No, it's going to clear, but
I
yeah.
I don't think so.
No, it does. He gives up $5.5 million, I think, to – oh, shit. What, are you talking about on the Hawks side?
Yes.
Oh, because it clears on the Bulls side. But, yeah, what did the Hawks just do to that trade?
To be honest, he didn't check the trade checker, so I don't know.
And not like the trade checker works. Trade checker takes into account the 115% you can trade in salary to another team, but so, we can't do that.
It's a little math there, but it's not bad.
So, you know, in the fines, what do you guys think about fining people who are, I don't know, that don't put in depth charts, that don't do trades right, you know, consecutively, things like that?
I think fines for teams that can like consistently miss depth charts would be a good idea. I think that would, you know, and I can understand someone maybe being out of town missing a couple.
I know,
but Trell disappeared for 3 days and screwed over the Bulls on this deal.
This isn't just Trell I'm talking about. I'm just saying depth in general.
Nola.
What about Nola? He gets his depth chart in, right?
Shout out to Nola.
He shits on the fucking screen and then he has his players out there.
I need to know. Ball's so hard. Ball's so hard. Are you actually, did you see a post from Nola saying tell him hi?
Say hi to me before I can't say hi back to you. I think he's going to die soon.
Nola has cancer. Oh, God.
Really?
I'm going to cut that.
Did you just say that?
28 minutes. I'm going to cut that. I meant to deliver it better than that. It didn't happen.
How do you deliver news of cancer?
Did y'all?
God, yeah. All right. We're going to have to cut this whole little segment out here.
No, I'm going to leave it.
Yeah.
It's worth being honest.
All right. Well, anyway. So, yeah, the Bulls-Hawks trade is fucked. I don't know. I didn't, you know, I'm not going in and looking at the numbers.
So,
to be honest, I messaged because I told Trell, like, on Saturday when this trade originally went down, I messaged him saying, dude, you're doing a great job. I'm really, like, you know, you're doing an awesome job doing, like, getting rid of these contracts and stuff. FYI, you probably need to cut somebody for this trade to work. You're trading for two guys and you're only sending over one. And you already had done that once with the other team. So you're still going to be one over. No response. So I was like, okay, whatever. You know, I'm not going to go babysit. So, but that's sad. I think that trade pretty much is moot point at this. You know, if the salaries work or if Bulls still want it, yeah, they'll make it work. But I mean, it may require Trell to send some more salary.
How do the Hawks even have enough roster spots to trade at this point? I'm looking at this Warriors-Hawks trade. They traded for five guys.
Warriors-Hawks? Well, that's what I'm saying. They did that trade. But in order to do the Bulls trade, they would have needed to cut one player. One more player.
Mm. Wow.
I guess I've been in the boat, and I'm kind of paranoid about one of my trades. And I'm like, I check them in the checker. You know, I'll actually I don't even check the checker. Excuse me. I don't do that. I'll actually go and I'll, like, write out the salaries on pen and paper and just do the math.
Well, because they actually have to be exactly the same. I think the trade checker needs to be – I mean, I don't think it really helps. So to complain about people not using it is silly because, I mean, I rechecked that Yao Ming trade three different ways, and all three different ways it cleared in the trade checker.
There may be a little bit of confusion as to what team is the one or, like, where you're putting the numbers.
No, I mean, it's your trading. These are the guys you're sending. This is your cap. This is the guys they're sending. This is their cap. Like, it's pretty clear. It absolutely wouldn't work the other way. If you think about it, like, it just wouldn't work at all. But it's taking into account the trades that the NBA can actually do and that the rules of the game that we're playing have actually set forward. 115% is a realistic thing. But we obviously don't have those settings. I mean, I had to absolutely meet the Knicks at, you know, I think I went.
It's 10%. You get 10% leeway.
Yeah, but I don't think that's true. Because I was within 50.
That is absolutely true.
I was within $50,000 and it didn't clear. Now, unless the commissioner did not check it properly, I was within $50,000. No. It should have cleared.
Well, what is 10% of what was the salaries?
The salaries were up were about $12 million.
Oh,
I'll say this:
$50,000 should have cleared.
There has never been a trade that I've put into the trade checker that said work that was denied.
But you are actually, when have you shorted someone on the salary?
It's not, that's the point, is I usually take on more salary and I don't have salary. That's how I know it's 10%.
It's never a problem for you. But what I'm saying is that this was less than 1% difference and it didn't clear. Guaranteed.
Weird.
That it cleared the tracker. I have the proof to even show it. That it cleared the tracker and it didn't. So to really harp on teams not checking their trades. I mean, I understand, Doug. I saw your post this week. If you have 15 guys, you're trading one and you're taking on two, you need to cut someone. That's very clear cut. And I don't understand what people don't get about that. And if you mess up the salaries, so be it. The commissioner will tell you. And if you're someone like the Hawks and you have four pending trades out there, who knows if any of these trades will be able to be processed.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, when you have shipping.
If the first one doesn't process, it throws everything out of funk, you know?
Right. And then you screw over three or four different teams. And this is my stance on the last depth chart. Well, these trades looked like they would clear. They looked like they were fine. And so these other teams submitted depth charts that had their new players. So the Bulls didn't even have a chance to adjust to the new non-Jalen Rose game plan.
Well, I mean, to be honest, and as shitty as it sounds, I mean, that's just how it works. If one player doesn't – trades are a two-way road. You know, if one player decides to drive on the other side of the road and hit you head-on – and destroy your car, then you know that it sucks to be you.
But those guys still get those guys still get traded with, is the point.
What?
I don't know. I was just making that up. But pretty much, all I'm saying is that it takes one person in a trade to derail the whole thing.
My cancer blast was too much, but driving against traffic was okay.
I'm saying it's a two-way road.
I get it. You could have just stayed at two-way road. You didn't have to say that you actually had to drive on the left side.
As you pass each other, if the trade goes well, but say one guy swerves into the other lane and doesn't do what he needs to do.
Are you the sober one in this podcast?
I did have one drink, but that's not making me drunk. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is it takes one person to fuck up a trade. It takes one person.
True.
One person not to do one thing, not to do their due diligence, and then it fucks over the other person, you know? And obviously we saw it there. So, I mean, it sucks, but, I mean, that's part of the league. Let's move on to the trade that you were involved in, Trey.
I couldn't accept that trade faster. I can't even be honest. I sent Ball So Hard a screenshot and said the same exact thing. I was looking for a first round draft pick to kind of negate the horrible Knicks trade that I did last year, and it still doesn't make up the whole thing because I'm probably in the lottery.
It does a pretty damn good job. 10 points. I mean,
10 points is huge.
Ten points is big.
Well, I need about
with this economy.
I need 25 to 50 essentially is what I'm looking for, and I have 18 right now before I get anything else from this offseason.
Well, if you improve your winning percentage by...
It's going to be tough with Gerald Wallace being out the six games coming up. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm close to that happening too. So, all of a sudden, you know, if I can scrounge together a couple extra points, I'm able to train two guys. I have three rookies being trained. My team starts feeling a little bit better. They're going to get a little bit better next year. But this trade, I mean, Kamen was not a good fit at this point because I would rather have Gooden and Wilcox. I know that those guys will be on, you know, unless they offer to sign for me for reasonable prices, those guys are going to hit the market, and I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm just going to have to get lucky, I think.
Kamen was expiring, right?
No. Kamen had another year.
Okay. So his situation is Kamen, Bogut, LaFrance, Moiso. Which is,
honestly, I messaged him, and I said, hey, it looks like you may need help at four. Let me know what you think. He's like, I really need a center. And I was like, I would have never, ever guessed that you needed a center. But here is Kamen. I really want him. Okay, I'm looking for a first-round draft pick. This is my offer. Post it. That was how that went. That was how quick that went. I mean, I love Kamen. He had a good year. I'm still big on Kamen, but I'm not that big on Kamen. Well, I wouldn't have done the...
to a guy at a bar and wants to bone a chick, and then when he goes and washes his face at his apartment, sobers up, he gets home and sees she's Chris Kamen. And your erection has failed you.
God damn, that beard. That beard.
Chris Kamen may be the ugliest person in the league.
Right, and you tried to bone him.
No,
he just had a boner for him.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking...
He brought him back to his apartment, washed his face.
I honestly think Trey was drunk when he saw Kamen and was like, I want him on my team. I will give away my future.
I don't know about my future.
For a month he was drunk then.
I was pretty convinced. No, I was aiming for that guy last year. Before the season, last season. I saw that he had three guys there. He's like, oh, Yao, Amari, those guys will be fine. Those guys will be Knicks for life. Apparently I was wrong there. But Kamen is a decent talent. I don't understand. He was producing. He was doing well for me. But somehow I landed Yao, and he's not needed anymore.
I mean, shooting 400 is producing.
He did all right. He played in three different game plans. When it was inside, he was very good. When he was a starter and he was getting 30 minutes, he did very well.
What do you mean very well?
Being the fourth or fifth highest scorer on my team with 11 points, I think that was pretty good. I mean, I don't have three 20-point scorers like the Lakers, so I have to, you know, judge what my, you know, what my positives are about my team. But when I had Nash and Jackson and Wallace and Wilcox and Gooden and then Kamen, and Kamen wasn't even focusing on him at all. He was just a plus. When he was giving me 11 and I think 8 or 9, when he was giving me that in the inside game, I can't complain. It's the same thing with Wallace right now. Wallace is not a part of my offensive game plan at all, but 15 points a game and what he does defensively. Because I don't know if you noticed, Kobe dropped 50 on me when Wallace was not playing all of those minutes.
Yeah, I believe
Didn't Kobe knock out the playoffs with Wallace?
Wait, you keep breaking up. What'd you say?
Didn't Kobe knock Doug out of the playoffs his first year?
No, did he?
Yeah. No, second year.
Who did I lose to in the first season? I don't even remember.
I remember you saying something like, maybe I should have put Wallace on Kobe.
No, because I didn't have Wallace my first season.
Yeah, that's it. Doesn't make sense.
I beat Trey, and then I can't remember if I...
He always has to say that.
I mean, whatever. It is what it is. We have the same amount of championships, so...
I know. Oh. We have the same amount of championships as the Magic and the Hawks, too.
Yeah.
But
this podcast is going to be fun to listen to because every now and then Scott has three words that are like, yeah, exactly.
I didn't know fucking R2-D2 was on the call.
So we're gonna get to just kind of guess what that was.
Hey, by the way, Zolino.
Did Zolino check in after the five?
No, but I'm just saying his name once just in case it works. It's like Beetlejuice.
So let's talk about that trade, the Cavs and Lakers. That wasn't a trade for real. Cut it out.
It happened.
It happened?
Yeah, it's real life. I mean, I just got points. That's it. Make money. Make Fuck money. Bitches. Get money. The motto of the Lakers.
All right. What do we want to talk about? I mean, this is trade deadline podcast.
Do you foresee any other trades going down, or is it kind of dead in the water now?
I don't know how much people – I don't know. I still feel like the Celtics have something coming, but I think the Celtics could bow out of this whole push for the playoffs.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe they don't see that next year they may have similar problems. I don't know.
You know who's going to bow out, I think, if anybody? It's two teams. I mean, for one, the Sonics are acting
like what, Doug? I mean, sorry, try it again.
They're acting like they're going to bow out of the race because, you know, if you look at the quote-unquote who type,
yeah,
he keeps saying, oh, you know, we're ready to give up on the playoffs, doesn't have the defense. I kind of feel like that he's just playing coy with that. But the Grizzlies are a team that you really have to watch out for because he's saying he's shopping, you know, like one of his big three. And I personally, he doesn't think he has what it takes to go all the way this year. So, I mean, you could see a trade from one of his big three, and that would break up that team for a little bit.
I think it'll break it up. But, I mean, if he's able to pull in some picks and maybe like a young stud, and maybe he'll probably have to like if he's trading Joe Johnson. I don't think he's trading Joe Johnson.
Oh God,
no.
I think it would be Elton Brand or it would be Zoe. I think it's probably Zoe. I don't think he would give up on Brand, but I mean it's possible.
If he and he sat back for a while, I mean he won't sniff the Western Conference Finals until Zoe retires and he gets more money, right?
Right.
I think that's pretty safe.
Gets no money, or
but even then, if you look at it, I mean, between Joe and between Brand, I mean, they're going to be jumping up in salary. Probably that. I mean, Zoe will be coming off the books for $15 million, but you know what? His salary is going to be going up probably around four, so he's only going to be getting $11 million in cap space, which is good. But that's not even taken into consideration. You still got $5 million for a bunch of other players.
Why are we? But these two guys are producers, though. I mean, I know they may not be having a great year this year, but these guys are solid players. I don't understand why you would deal either one of those guys. With the cap hit. I mean, I think we talk too much about salary when it comes to guys that are actually worth the salary. And Joe Johnson and arguably Elton Brand, at least what he produced last year. I haven't looked at his line too much this year, but those guys are worth the salary.
Right.
More than Chris Kamen.
Chris Kamen's getting paid $2 million. I don't understand this. I don't get it. I mean, I'm not gonna continue to defend him past this podcast, but I don't understand. He's $2 million. If you look at his stats, he's pretty good.
That actually brings up a very good and kind of interesting point is that I guess what these guys make, I mean, yeah. It varies per person. So someone maybe averaging, for example, Brian Grant, he's False. Going 16.5 and 9, and he's making $11 million. To me, that's making your money. You know, yeah. That's going to work. But then other people say that's a horrible contract, and I'm like. You know,
No, hear me out. It's not a horrible contract now. People are saying it's a horrible contract, and when does it expire?
The season after that. So three
seasons from now, it's a terrible contract.
It's the same thing for Allen, who's getting paid, what was right. it, $23-24 million in his last year?
He's making $13 million. And
Allen or Grant?
Grant. He will. He will. In the last year of his contract, he's making, I think, 13.5.
Yeah, and you're already trying to replace him with Chandler Frye.
With who?
Who? Channing Frye.
I'm not trying to replace him yet, but if he does, I mean...
You're looking for an excuse to start Channing Frye over him. You're trying to shop Brian Grant to give Channing Frye more playing time.
I will go on the record in saying that I am not necessarily opposed to trading anyone not named Arenas and Chandler.
Political answer, but what I said was still holds true.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Channing Frye's put up legitimate numbers. Now, I don't think he should be – I don't think he should be starting this year. I think Brian Grant is obviously has, you know, brought enough to the table that he deserves to start.
You feel that
he shoots 47% from the field.
I didn't realize that we were talking about you. Sorry. I'm glad we're doing this. Okay, keep going.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Kamen.
No, I didn't know we were talking about you, for real. I thought we were talking about somebody else, but
oh.
You feel that the $12 million less that Fry makes Grant expendable because they're equal players at this point in their career. So when you look at 3 years down the road when Fry has matured and Grant has digressed, that's when it becomes a really bad contract is all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Right?
It's true. Yeah. And but as we've seen in this league, you can never count on guys getting older and getting worse. Like they
yeah. –
I mean, we've seen guys compete at a very high level, even though, and not really even lose anything, even though they're 37 years old, 35 years old.
When people make that argument, though, the only person they're talking about is Karl Malone, right?
No. Not necessarily.
Keep going, what? Oh, no, did we lose somebody?
Uh-oh. Scott, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool.
Quail Man was going to keep going, but...
No, we can move on to something else. I was just giving an example that I think there's a lot of contracts out there. Some people think that, oh, you're overpaying, and then other people are like, no, you're not.
No, we were talking about regression of players.
That was where it started from. Sorry.
Yeah, look at Terrell Brandon. Look at Alonzo Mourning. Is he the force he was... two or three seasons ago when he was scoring 25, getting 15 and three blocks. You know, people are regressing in the league.
I do agree to an extent, though. I think the development last season of Joe Johnson and having Page on the team took shots away from Alonzo Mourning.
What about this year where he doesn't have a third scoring option? Scoring what, like 14 a game?
Yeah, that's true.
Not to say he's a bad player, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Regression happens.
It does.
Hopefully that happens to Chris Webber and Shaq before next season.
hopefully it happens to Chris Paul and Dwight Howard.
Yeah, Chris Paul needs to regress.
He's not going to. He's going to be the first A-plus across the board. He'll have three stats that are A-plus by the end
of this. You know LeBron's like four A's.
Yeah, that's disgusting. That's when you need a Gerald Wallace. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Fucker. let's talk. I mean, we're already, getting to 50 minutes here. Do y'all want to talk about this upcoming sim? Who do you think is going to move up? Who do you think is going to move down?
Yeah. Well, first of all, talk about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Uh-oh.
What do I get when I win this bet? Like I won the last full prediction.
So wait, say the first part of that again.
What do I get when I win our bet?
What was the bet?
That you were not going to finish in the top four. I bet that you were going to finish in the top four.
And I bet you weren't.
Okay.
And I'm supremely behind on this at this point. There are five teams at 8.5 games back from the leader. So, yeah. I don't know. Were we just doing drinks? It upsets me that I lost the battle. But apparently I won the war against the,
No,
Bucks.
It's the opposite. It's the opposite. You won the battle versus the Bucks, but you lost the war in Sim League. Because he finished hot.
No. I had bet him on the game one that we played each other a beer.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Then I won the next three games and didn't have anything riding on it. I still owe him a beer, but yet I did better than him one-on-one in regular season. So
my team knew it was up.
Yeah, apparently.
You know, they just don't take your team serious. Maybe that's it.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah. All right.
Is that when you rush your starters?
Is that who are we blasting here? I don't think I've ever rested my starters.
Yeah, I'm talking about Doug. Okay. Yeah, so who do you see moving up? What about the Celtics? Do they have a real chance?
I think the Celtics will overtake the Hawks and possibly the Pistons, especially with Gerald Wallace out.
My boy G. Messi.
Yeah.
He'll be in the playoffs this week. Count it.
Yeah, but so will he make the playoffs, though? I'm talking about the Celtics.
No.
He said he'll overtake the Pistons. But not this week. I'm talking about overall.
I don't think he makes the playoffs, no. I think you're right. He's too far back. I mean, look at the playoff standings. The ninth place team is 6 games back. I think that the playoffs look pretty set right now.
In the West?
In the East.
Oh.
Who said that he was going to jump the Pistons? I imagine that was the Bucks.
No, I was saying, just looking at the records right now, he's only a game and a half behind you, dude.
Who gives a shit? Honestly, who cares?
He's also 9-1 in the last 10.
I get it. Also lost my best defender in the last 3 games and don't have him for the next week.
I don't understand
what you're saying. Like, I didn't win enough games in the beginning of the year to justify an injury like this now. So to say that the Celtics are going to jump me is a pretty solid pick at this point, considering my third best player or fourth best player.
I thought that's what we were picking, though. I thought we were picking teams to move up. Picking, and I was saying the
he
Celtics.
He asked if he was going to make the playoffs.
Oh, I thought we were just talking about moving up.
That's no. Are the Celtics going to make the playoffs?
They're only 9 games back from the Pacers.
It's a long shot, but if their current hot streak continues, I don't write them out. You know?
Quit being a pussy. Are they going to make it or not?
You know, it would be nice to see them make it because I think the Hornets and them would make a good match to see, you know?
Will they make it or not?
Who am I, Charles Barkley? I don't make these bold predictions.
No, we're asking you to make a bold prediction, and you gave us they're going to jump the Pistons.
I will say.
You have to be bold. Just make a prediction.
Yes, they will.
They'll make the playoffs? You idiot!
I'm
just kidding. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think it's too far.
How many games back do you think they will be?
Oh, they'll be back. I mean, they're going to miss by like a game and a half. I mean, it'll be so close that it'll hurt even more. It's going to be painful.
I'm gonna say they're going to make it.
Who comes back to the pack? Who comes back to them? Other than the Bucks?
You know, I think it's the Pacers. It's the Pacers or nobody.
I don't think the Pacers are going to come back to them. Wait, go ahead. Say it again.
5-5 in the last 10.
I also, depending on how this trade goes with the Hawks, I mean, the Bulls also, you know, they don't have anybody on the wing to defend outside of LeBron. Yeah, actually, you know what? I take that back. They have Kirilenko now. My bad. I forgot they traded for him.
The Bulls could be, if there's anybody I think that's going to overtake the Bulls.
Overtake the who? The Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, not to take a shot at you, Quayle, but
it's all right.
If I had to put my money on it, I would say you're going to end up the 4 seed and they end up the 3.
If there's anything we've ever learned from the Bucks is that he lives for this kind of pressure, right?
Wait.
Right, Balls?
Right.
This is when he starts panicking and talked about being the Joneses.
The best part of of this is that I can't get trade happy this year because I don't really have the assets to make trades.
Right.
All right. So I'm stuck with this team. And to be honest, I'm kind of – I don't want to say I'm disappointed, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy because this team has been playing pretty well, especially the adjustments that I made the last two sims. I've definitely been doing a little bit better.
You're 5-5 in your last 10.
Yeah, I said last two sims, which I had like 18 games, and I won. But keep in mind that before this past sim, I was going a lot of like 3-2s, 3-3. You know, I was kind of keeping it even.
In the last two sims, you've gone 5-5.
No, I've gone 10-18 or 10-8, which is still not much better, but.
he argued for two more games. Okay.
Hey, you know what? I'll take the fucking victories where I can get them, all right?
It's a game. It's a game. It's not two wins. It's a game.
What about the West?
I mean, I think the Clippers could go as high as 7. I think they could go as high as 6. I think they're hot right now. They found something that works. I don't know what their schedule is coming up. I don't know how many times they have to play the Lakers or the Hornets or team formerly known as the Hornets.
Oh, but, yeah, really? I think this right now is a battle. It's a battle for the 7th and 8th seeds. I think everything above them are pretty set unless someone gets hurt. Well, if someone on the Suns or the Sonics get hurt, then I think the door can open for one like the Clippers. Well, I don't really see the Nuggets squeezing in again, unless there's injuries to teams above them.
Well, the Suns still have to play 9 more games than the Clippers.
Yeah,
I mean, true.
there's more opportunity for injury. I mean,
there's more opportunity for injury. There's more opportunity for losses. I mean,
yeah.
at least the Clippers have. Yeah, I agree with that. But this is the only time that we can really look at it and say. They are 3 wins behind the Suns. Because looking at how this league works, you know, that's the mark we're going for. Not losses, we're going for wins because we don't control anything else in this league. I think that the team has won 31 games. They're 3 games back of the Suns. I think it's going to be too much because of how many games they have to play. But I think we all have talked about the Mavericks, I think we've kind of talked about the Timberwolves a little bit too. I think that they jump the Mavericks. I think that they're hot enough that they'll jump the T-Wolves. Let's see where they go from there.
Who doesn't make it out of the Mavericks and the T-Wolves?
I think the Mavericks. We've been saying the Mavericks since podcast 2.
You know, the Mavericks, they are this year, they're at best eighth seed. At best.
Yeah. He would agree with that.
No, and I
think he's restless, too. I think
I think he really is. He wants to win, and I think he needs to just relax. Not, I don't want to say relax, because, I mean, you can't quell the fighting spirit of a samurai warrior.
You can't quail it, either.
Can't quail it, either, yeah. But no,
Wait, is he Japanese?
No.
Are you Japanese?
I got caught in the heat of the moment there. but no, you can't suppress that. I mean, he wants to compete, but at the same time, in this, you can't force yourself into trying to compete when your team is very young. You need sometimes a sim, especially in these with the young guys. It takes 2 or 3 years for them to actually develop into, you know, just hit their stride. They're not all Chris Pauls or Dwight Howards, you know? Gilbert Arenas took 4 seasons before he actually started playing really well.
Mm. All right, well, we have now eclipsed the 1-hour mark, and I'm not cutting shit, so...
You are going to cut the beginning of the phone call.
What beginning of the phone call?
When you called them, we weren't talking with Lee.
I guess I can.
And we can probably cut this, too.
I actually went into Rock Band. It takes like 7 seconds to do that.
Into Rock Band? Garage Band?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So 7 seconds to do what?
To cut it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just don't feel like it. Honestly. Okay.
Post it then. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point. So I'm going to give each of you 30 seconds. So, 30 seconds. Quail, starting now.
What are my 30 seconds for? Am I wasting them?
You're wasting them.
it'll be interesting to see what other trades go down. Like you said, I'm kind of anxious to see if the Rockets are going to make any moves. I don't think they are. I think they're staying pat. I think the Grizz, if the right move is there, I think one of those guys could possibly be on the move. I'm kind of curious to see. There's some players out there like okay.
You're up ball so hard.
Last in bed, so I'll make it short.
Like you do in bed?
Yes. I'm trying to waste time.
You're trying to waste time?
Bojangles, you're not going to catch me, asshole. You hear me?
Dude, Bojangles isn't going to catch me.
All right, so...
He's going to catch an STD.
I now appreciate what NBA GMs do. I can't even begin to tell you. I think this is absolutely why we don't see this many trades at trade deadline. That we never see the kind of guys that get moved in our league actually get moved in real life. I think that people undervalue and overvalue their people on a constant basis. It's uncanny and ridiculous. Maybe we'll settle down eventually. Maybe we won't, but it's what makes it interesting. So anyways, that is it. Podcast. What'd you say?
Huh?
What?
Nothing.
Hey, remember that STD that I traded the Bucks? That was fun.
Remember that hand job I got and then that trade got thrown away?
The first
three-way trade of the league. I got a high five in AI from the Pistons. Balls sent me like 5 points and I got a hand job.
I am cutting this.
Why?
Because you said you had a hand job. No one cares.
It was the worst hand job ever.
I'm sure.
It was like, it's like she was wringing a face cloth.
We gotta figure out our sign out. This is terrible.
Remember that time that sex with you, Quail?
Wait, what?
Close it.
Close it. Bye.